Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly of God podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We'd love to hear what God is doing through this ministry. If you have a story to share, send us an email at connect@bedfordfirstag.org. Also, feel free to visit our website at bedfordfirstag.org. You can view the live stream of our services and find out more about our church. Thanks for listening.
I haven't ruined a song for a while, so before I preach, I'll do great damage to it. But I want you to hear the words, and this is an old song. You know I always pull out the oldies. So Tim, if you're ready, let's give it a try, brother. You can tell by the background. Just the words. I need more. Shackled by a heavy, heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus, he touched me, and now I am no longer the same. Can he say that? Oh, he touched me. Yes, he's touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Yeah. Since I met this blessed Savior, and since he's cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. Yes, I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me. Floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. The enemy tells me I should never do that anymore, but he's not in charge. Yeah. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Ephesians. I want us to continue our journey. We're near the end. This journey of understanding salvation to its fullest. I wish with everything in me that I could communicate the seriousness, the intensity of understanding the truths that we're trying to walk through. the truth of creation itself, just picking one part, and how creation plays into our salvation experience is something we cannot do without. I saw a billboard. It said, Jesus saves. And as I drove on, that was illuminated in my mind, Jesus saves. I believe that. Jesus saves. But I could not help but be drawn into the fact that our salvation experience is more than just those two words. They are absolute. They are truth beyond anything, beyond any measure. Jesus saves. Absolutely. But the breadth, the height, the depth of our salvation is so much more vast than that. And I realized that so many who proclaim themselves to be believers do not really understand their salvation. You see, you have to start in the Old Testament. You have to start at creation, understanding that God made everything perfect. And then he, in his created thing of man and woman, they stepped in, rebelled against God, brought sin into the world, and sickness and death and pain and all of that has flowed down that river, a vast river of man without God. When I say man and woman without God, we need to understand that. And there was no way that man in his rebellion, birthed in sin, if you will, could get back to God. No way. The Old Testament begins to give us an understanding of who God is. We saw his side of justice, but we also at the same time saw his incredible love. I was just reading this morning in Jeremiah. And, you know, Jeremiah is pouring out the word of the Lord, telling the people of Israel, judgment is coming. There were false prophets all around who were saying, everything's going to be fine, it's all going to be blessing and everything like this. And the Lord said, don't be mistaken by them. My word is that judgment is coming, and it's going to be judgment like nothing you've ever seen. And I'm, even in my own heart, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, at 5:30 in the morning, this is really heavy stuff. And then all of a sudden, just right in the mix of it, God says, but I will have a people. But I will have a people. And I will bless them. And I will watch over them. And I will minister to them. And so, you see, if you take the time to study the Old Testament, you understand that God is revealing himself to man and the incredible choice that exists for every one of us. We can know the grace and the mercy and the love and the forgiveness of the Lord. Or we will get to know his wrath, his judgment, and his incredible power. Our choice. And he doesn't force anyone in the midst of that choice. That's what he shows us throughout the Old Testament. But understand, every one of those prophetic books and every verse that is in there is God calling out and reaching out saying, come home. I didn't create you to be lost from me. I didn't create you to be hurting. I created you to be in me and to enjoy my blessings. Everyone under their own vine and their own fig tree, so to speak. Oh, then, how the New Testament begins to open up. We have shadows in the prophets, but the New Testament begins to open up and show us Jesus. And if we take the time to learn, we can see that his virgin birth was necessary for our salvation. Christmas is not just Santa Claus and giving presents. It's all about our salvation. Jesus coming. Born, yes, of the seed of the woman, but of the power of the Holy Spirit to create a new Adam who could live a sinless life and die a substitutionary death for every single one of us. Yes, Jesus saves. But we need to know who Jesus is. Then we moved, we talked about confession. The confession of sin is probably talked about the most, but there's the confession of surrendering, of actually giving our lives over to the Lord. See, many people, they say, well, you know, oh yeah, I got saved when I was a child. Where's the evidence? Where's the evidence of the surrendered life where you've turned your life over to Christ? Jesus himself said, many will say, Lord, Lord, I cast out devils in your name. I did all kinds of things in your name. I taught Sunday school. I served on a board. And he'll say, but I never knew you. You never surrendered your life to me. You see, we got to understand that the salvation experience is more than just a moment at an altar. It's a change of life. Paul describes it. He says, now you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. Compare that to your own life. Is that the way it lives in me? Is this the way that I'm walking this out? Or is Christianity and Jesus and all of that just my hope for the future, for heaven when I die? No, no, no. Salvation is an ongoing relationship with Christ. So that one day, when we walk into his presence, it won't be, oh, look what I've done. It will be, oh my, look what he has done for me. We spent some time talking about faith, belief, the necessity, the trust, the action. Of course, the object is Jesus. Last time I preached to you, we talked about his grace. We do it under the heading of assurance. How do we know that we're saved? How do we get to that place where our salvation is settled in us? You see, I believe that it is not just a Spirit of God playing, now you know. He said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Huh? So as you and I take the time to understand what he has done and what he is doing in us, the assurance of our salvation builds. As we understand the truth of grace, grace by definition brings assurance of our salvation. What is it? Unmerited favor. In other words, it's not what I have done. You say, but I confessed and I believe. And yeah, but your salvation came by the blood of Christ. And when you really understand that, then you find yourself in a crumpled heap at his feet. How many know what I'm talking about when I say that? A crumpled heap in his feet. That just constantly, day by day, you're saying, oh Lord, I don't know why you mess with me. But I'm so glad that you do. You understand that it is grace that has brought you in, where he has said, come on in to my arms. Grace is the measure of the giver and not the receiver. So you and I, we can't go, oh, look what I've done, I've become a Christian. Well, you became a Christian because of what he did. It's his grace is sufficient. It is a sufficient provision. And I said grace is position. It's the platform upon which we stand in this world. I want to fill in that just a little bit. You see, when we stand before the world as Christians arrogantly, Christianity loses. When we stand before this world humbly because of God's grace, Christianity wins. That's the reason why I'm appalled at some of the teachers and teachings that I hear, being spewed out. Church, so many people are saying, I want to know who I am in Christ. That's okay. But know who He is in you is the greater work. Understanding the power that He, by His Holy Spirit, brings into our life is the greater work. This morning, we move one more step in our assurance of salvation, and that is forgiveness. Forgiveness. And there's no way that I can possibly preach this message with my limitations to convey to you the fullness of this truth. But I just attempt. I have a friend. I haven't talked to him for quite a while, but I have a friend. His name is Bill. One name I have trouble forgetting. I actually put badges on sometimes just to remind myself, Bill pastored in Milford, Michigan, which was the next town over. I was in Walled Lake, and he was in Milford, and we actually lived in Milford for a period of time. His was the closest AG church, and so he and I had some fellowship. He was a great guy, very easy to be around, a pleasure to be around, and so as often as we could, we got together and shared life. One day he was sitting in his office, and a man walked in and leveled a 12-gauge shotgun and shot him in the chest. Point blank. But God. He externally was messed up pretty good, kind of damaged some organs and things like that, but he lived through it. The man turned and left immediately. Bill knew him and would not tell who shot him. And of course, everybody was upset at that, saying that the man needed to be punished and everything. I sat at lunch with him and I said, Bill, how did you process that? Was it, because what I wanted to know was it something that he had to work through? How long did it take for him to be able to forgive this guy for blowing a hole in his chest? He said, no, Bill. He said, forgiveness happened immediately. He said, it was something that, he said, I knew in the moment, even in the moment of the blast and everything, that it was something I couldn't hold on to. Pretty good chance that that man sat in church. The following weeks, after he got out of the hospital and everything, that he had to see this guy. Now, I can't tell you all the dynamics of that. I just bring it out because I want you to understand the power of forgiveness when it flows from the throne. There, in the natural, do you understand that's not possible? Come on. I mean, I know as you're sitting here right now, some of you are thinking, well, yeah, but justice wasn't served. That man needed to be punished. You see, we have all these attachments that we attach to the offense. And that's part of what we stumble over when we try to forgive someone else. But I say to you this morning, I'm so thankful that the Lord Jesus doesn't do it. That when we place our sin under his blood, he is not going, well, I don't know, that sin right there, that one should be punished. Huh? I'll let this one go over here, but really, they need to pay for this. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You see, here's the incredible truth about his forgiveness. I don't understand this. I can only tell you this because I've read it in his word, and I've come to understand it from a spiritual standpoint, but there's nothing inside this that can figure this out. That if you and I belong to him and his blood covering is over our life, even as we are sinning, he is forgiving. You say, but Pastor, what about the confession and all? Listen to me this morning. He knows your heart. And if your heart belongs to him, his forgiveness flows at the same time as the transgression. Wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, chastisement for our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. Isaiah wrote it. That was before the cross. He knows your name. He knows your sins. I would venture to say, I'm not trying to be a prognosticator here this morning or a prophet, but chances are you're going to sin. Maybe even before this day is out, sin will flow out of your life. You and I need Jesus. We don't just need him back as I was 5 years old at an altar on a Wednesday night. We need him yesterday, today, and forever to be the Savior of our souls. You see, if we are living in him, if we are living under the flow of his blood, if we are living under the reality of his forgiveness, even before we say, Lord, I'm sorry for that, he knows your heart. So you see, this is not just, even the confession part of this, it's not just the words that we speak, but it is a heart. I pray that the Lord knows that if you're given the time and the opportunity, that once you realize that you have done something that is displeasing to him, that you will call it out before him and you will say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. I am a sinner. This is what I have done. But see, before you ever have the opportunity to speak it, he knows your heart. And his sacrifice is complete. You see, I bring this to you this morning because I can't tell you the number of people over my ministry who have said, but what about the person who dies and doesn't have a chance to confess their sin, and they, you know, will they be in heaven or hell? He knows those who are his. You see, this is part of the blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine that we sing about, that we walk in. Your and my assurance of our salvation is not that the Lord Jesus is sitting up there going, oop, they did a bad one, they're not going to get to come be with me. Oh, that one, oh, there's another one, did something wrong. That's not the relationship that he has. You see, we understand this. As I said, Sharon and I have been married 49 years this Thursday. If I held everything she did wrong, every word that she spoke wrong, we wouldn't be married. She's not in here, so I can tell you, she does make mistakes. And I haven't been an angel either. So see, the relationship that we have, and a lot of folks have never learned this, but the relationship that we have is full of grace. It is full of love. And see, even though something may be said in haste or something may be, you know, done without thinking or whatever like that, we know one another's hearts, that we have made a lifetime commitment to one another. And though we may not like it, and though that other person may not have the time or even realize that they have, you know, I do this a lot. You know, I say things that kind of are misunderstood. We speak different languages. Okay? And so I will say something, she will understand it in a completely different way. I don't even know. And I've hurt or made her mad or something or other. And I don't even know. So in other words, I'm not going to come and say, hey, I'm sorry, because I don't even know. And can I tell you this morning that you and I sin and we don't even know. So if his salvation and his forgiveness is dependent upon every time that we acknowledge that there is sin in our life, we're in trouble. Because none of us are going to make it to heaven. It's depending upon the relationship that we have with Jesus. He knows our heart. When you give your life, true salvation, when you give your life to Christ and you're walking with him, listening for his voice, forgiveness flows right with that relationship. My, I can't tell you the number of things I've had to forgive Sharon for. It's just amazing. And she, me. Sometimes we don't even get to the point of understanding. She'll say, well, what you said hurt me. I'm like, what? How? What? I don't understand. Well, it did. Well, I'm sorry, I guess. I would like to say I'll never do it again, but since I really don't understand. Now, folks, do you understand what I'm saying here? This is just an illustration, because it's the same way between us and our Lord. He is sinless, perfect in all of his ways. Every decision, every thought, every action is perfect. And then us. We don't even know when we have offended him or sinned against him. But this is the assurance of our salvation. That when we're walking in relationship with him, I suppose it's kind of like in our marriage. There are times that I go, well, that's just Sharon. Huh? I'm absolutely certain that there are times that the Lord just says, well, that's John Dodd. You know, many times if we're waiting for the assurance of salvation just to be a feeling, we're going to struggle with feelings. They're going to be up, they're going to be down. Some of it's hormonal. It's everything. We have to come to that place where we understand I am in relationship with the Son of God who gave his life, shed his blood, broken body, so that I could be in this relationship. And I think sometimes we lessen the power of his sacrifice by our lack of assurance. Huh? He's like, why are you questioning me? My sacrifice is bigger than this. Hey, I'm talking to you this morning about a Jesus who can forgive a rapist, a murderer. Huh? A multiple murderer? A heinous criminal? He can forgive them. That is to say, there will never be a penalty in judgment for that crime. You know, all of us were going, well, now, gee, I don't know, they should pay for that. Huh? It goes against everything in our humanity. But this is where you and I have got to accept the new creation in Christ Jesus. This new creation says that He takes on the responsibility for my failures. It's liberating. Now, that's not to say that we run out in sin. Isn't that what Paul said? He said, if grace abounds, should we run out in sin? God forbid. We're not going to trample on grace, but we've got to know that it covers our sins. If you're in this place this morning and there's sin in your life, if you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, there's forgiveness for you today, but there's also forgiveness for you tomorrow and the next day and the next day if you are willing to walk in Christ. That's the reason why the Apostle Paul said, for me to live is Christ. You know, we often think about live in Christ, die is gain. You know, we put that in there, and that's very much a part of that. But for me to live is Christ. He is saying, He is my assurance of salvation. I know that He is forgiving me even when I don't even know that I have offended Him because of our relationship. You know, maybe you're sitting here this morning and this relationship with Christ is a foreign thing. I want to introduce you to a life that is lived in Christ. Because see, that's real salvation. It's not just a moment at an altar when you were a kid or as an adult. That's just a beginning point. We're invited to a life in Christ. And when we accept that, true salvation, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Amen? I'm going to ask our brother and whoever is going to help us with communion to come. If you need to leave, you feel free, but I'm not going to rush us through this morning. So we're together so seldom, we're going to just take a few moments. Next. All right. Bless you. You all help these fellows as much as you can so we can get this out. Yeah, sure, please, go ahead. Just so you know, I didn't preach my message on forgiveness this morning. So we'll come back to it next week, and that will be fine. How many of you grew up in church? Okay, and then let me ask you another question. How many of you got saved every week? How many know what I'm talking about when I say got saved every week? Huh? Yeah, Okay, see, now you're starting to catch on. See, really, basically what we were doing, we'd misunderstood what salvation was about. Because we knew throughout the week, as young people, we knew that we had sinned, we had transgressed against the Lord. We came into His Spirit, and the conviction for that sin was there. And so then once again, we used to have Sunday night service, and that was pretty much what it was about, was all the believers making their way to the altar to get saved once again and renew the relationship. I'm telling you that there is a life in Christ that isn't dependent upon you getting saved every week. It's dependent upon you living with Jesus every day. And it's not hard. It won't bust you. It's actually quite comfortable when you know that whatever comes, whatever you face, whatever need, you have someone to turn to constantly. There's an old song, I got a head full of them. It says, I'm walking with Jesus each step of the way. That's salvation. It's not some freaky thing, it's not something that just a few people experience, but that is salvation. Walking with Jesus each step of the way. Thank you, gentlemen. You can wrestle this bread out of this one. Yeah. I wish there was a way to speak in everyone's language of understanding that would allow us to get to this truth of living in Jesus. I think in the speaking of it that many have this picture in mind that in order to do that you have to be a preacher. Trust me, God has called people to do a lot of other things besides this. It's just knowing. It's knowing. He's my Savior. I can depend upon Him. You know, part of the 49-year relationship that Sharon and I have is the understanding that when we said, in sickness and in health, forsaking all others, till death us do part. Are you ready? We meant it. And so when it gets tough, sometimes impossible, we lean back on our commitment and we say, till death us do part. Which means we got to fix what's broken. Now I say this to you spiritually, see, you need to have that same resolve with living for Christ. Because if you haven't figured this out yet, you're going to have some tough days, weeks, months, maybe even years as you walk in Him. Because you won't always understand everything that He's doing or everything that's happening in your life. You say, but Lord, I'm a believer and I don't understand why this is happening to me. Why am I going through this financial mess? I've done everything I could to be yours. And then you realize, for me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. He does not say any place in your Bible, you can go from cover to cover of it. He doesn't say any place in there that we will understand everything that He does with us. What He does say is, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you always to the ends of the world. Whatever you're going through, whatever your circumstance is, whatever you have done, He and His sacrifice is powerful enough to see you through it. I believe that there's someone in this room. You're ready to give up on Christ. It hasn't worked out the way you thought that it would. Stay with Jesus. He'll see you through. Would you stand with me, please? Jesus, with those ornery disciples, sometimes so arrogant, they were wondering who was the greatest among them. Other times, even after He told them, they denied ever knowing Him. And yet He took the bread. And He broke it and He gave it to them. And He said, guys, this is my body that is broken for you. Peter, that very night, would deny Him. Jesus later reaffirmed, He said, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? What was He saying? He was saying, Peter, all the rest of that doesn't matter. Do we have a relationship? Are you and I in relationship? Because if we are, I forgive you. See, there was nothing, and you'll look in your Bible, there wasn't anything He could say because Jesus told him in advance that He was going to deny Him before the rooster crowed. He knew. Even said, I'm praying for you, buddy. But Jesus wanted to know, Peter, do you love me? Are we in relationship? Because if we are, then your denial of me is gone. Folks, you need to know that this morning. Whatever that sin is that's hanging there between you and the Lord, and you're wondering, does he love me? Will he still love me because of this thing that I'm dealing with in my life? You need to know, he has died for that sin. It's done if you're in relationship with him. Can you receive this morning? Because see, this is what we're holding in our hand. His broken body, his shed blood. He's saying, this is enough. And you didn't earn it, but you can have it if you love me, if you'll walk with me. Lord Jesus, bless this bread this morning that represents your body being broken and torn. You did this for us. I pray for that one who has put an obstacle up, a barrier up. By the power of your Holy Spirit, may the barrier come down. And may we accept this bread this morning as just a token of belief, to know that your body was broken for us. You love us. May there never be a question. The question is, do we love you? Are we willing to be in relationship with you? And if so, the power of this broken body is ours. We receive the bread right now in Jesus' name. Church, take the bread with me. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Oh, the blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus. The cleansing, powerful blood of Jesus. Perhaps there's someone watching today online. And you're wondering if the Lord Jesus, if he would really forgive you of your sins. Let me tell you this morning, there is nothing, there is no sin that is greater than the flow of his blood. He will forgive you. If you will turn your life to him, he will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Lord, I thank you this morning for this cup. You told the 12, do this in remembrance of me. We stand in the shadows, still believing that the blood is sufficient today to wash away, to cover over every sin. Lord, as we receive this cup this morning, may the assurance of our salvation flow within us if we're walking in you. If we're playing church, may this cup be a cup of remembrance that you don't play games. This is very real. It's eternally real. Minister to us, O Lord, as we receive this cup today in Jesus' name. Church, let's take the cup. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. If you would like somebody to pray with you this morning, it would be my greatest pleasure to pray with you. As everyone's heading that direction, come on down this direction and we'll spend some time ministering before the Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hey, would you do me a favor? Just turn and say thank you to those that are around you. Thank them for worshiping with us today. God bless you. May you have a great week in the Lord.